Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Rachel, birthday! Donnie! Trudy! All right.
Celebration. I don't believe in working on my birthday, but, you know, for Higher Learning, of course yeah. I'm here. Where else would I be?
Everybody take a shot. It's Rachel's 19th birthday. Rachel's 19th birthday. Everybody take a shot. I have a shot of smoothie. Let's go. Take it now.
Wait, Donnie, what are you drinking?
This is Crown. This is more than a shot, but I'm not taking all of
you
this.
You sipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Trudy.
Ice in it. I got Trudy, Jack Daniels honey.
And I got some tequila.
Yeah. All right. Everybody take a shot. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday, Rach. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday, Rach. Boom. Took smoothie to the head. I'm a real man's man. Rachel, how are you feeling on your birthday?
You know, I feel good. I feel blessed. Needed the chaser of the Red Bull. I feel blessed, you know. It's been a heavy 2022 so far, just professionally, personally. So I just feel grateful. I woke up this morning. I feel very grateful. It's another day. Didn't do anything crazy. Next year I'm going to be more proactive about doing something for my birthday. Last year, same thing. I worked. Brian and I had a little getaway before, but I actually want to spend time doing something for my birthday. So this year it's been good. Everybody's been so sweet and thoughtful.
Trudy and Donnie, you guys can click your, you can go back. I don't know what you think you're doing. Take your video.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. trying to horn in on the podcast. Donnie, I know what you're doing,
Donnie. They got real comfortable. Donnie,
see you trying to take over. I see you.
We know.
They like you more than me. I don't give a fuck. Donnie, I see you trying to take over.
I see you. You can't see me.
I see you, Donnie. So you don't have any special plans for your birthday this weekend? It's like nothing. Oh, by the way, I would like to say happy birthday to Kalika Abrams.
To Kalika! Kalika's birthday too.
Birthday twins. Special little beautiful mouse. Her birthday. She's like, little beautiful. Hey, baby. How you doing, baby? Do you have anything going on this weekend?
No. Well, yes and no. We went to OC last weekend. That was a pre-birthday celebration. Brian's friend's coming in town. We're going to do a little something tomorrow. And then I'm having massages with one of my oldest friends. I don't even know how long it's been since we met. I mean, I feel like I've known her my whole life. She lives out here. So we're going to have massages. And yeah, and then it's super chill. Sunday, I'm doing the LA Book Festival. So I'm doing a panel there. That'll be fun.
Book Fest.
But we've already heard of Miss Me With That. What we're dying to hear about is
Fat, Crazy, and Tales from the Trenches of Transformation. Why are you trying to play me with the thing? Like, anybody that's watching this right now, Fat, Crazy, and Tired, Tales from the Trenches of Transformation is in stores 426, and Rachel is playing me right now. Like, look at the way I look. If you're watching it, we were trying to figure out how to make my little background into the book cover, which my publishers have wanted me to do. And so I did it. And while I was trying to do it, Rachel took a screenshot of that. And now it's her background.
I'm just promoting you. I'm excited for you. Next week is a big week.
It's a big week. I got a lot of press coming up, you know. I have a lot of press.
You're not doing extra.
No.
You're not doing extra.
Nobody asked me to do extra. I'm doing Kimmel on the 24th.
Ooh, you're gonna sit on the couch.
Kimmel on May 24th.
But you're gonna pre-tape it. Are you gonna do it? Or are you actually gonna do it? May 24th.
I'm do it then. Yeah. So May 24th, okay. I'm gonna do Kimmel.
That's
shout out
big
to Jimmy.
Deal.
That's huge. It's huge. Breakfast Club next week. I did Lewis Howes' podcast. Shout out to Lewis Howes, School of Greatness. I gotta be real with you. Very, very raw interview.
Okay.
Talk to just the book. The people read the book and they're like, I stopped the Stacks podcast. I did the Stacks podcast. People read the book and they're like, you're so vulnerable in the book. You're like, listen, books are vulnerable. They're vulnerable tools. You know, it's vulnerable to tool to be vulnerable. I'm so afraid of this book coming out. I'm not gonna
lie. But there's power in being able to go there and putting that out there and allowing other people to receive that. Because it's about you. It's personal. So not everybody expects you to be able to do that. So I think that's why people are beautifully surprised by it.
Rachel, do you eat goat meat?
No. I don't even know what that is. That's
goat meat. The meat of a goat. Do you eat that?
No.
So when you go to like the islands, you don't eat goat, curry goat? Goat? You don't eat that?
I've never even seen goat meat on the menu when I've been in the islands. And why do we move? Is this in the book?
No. What island that you do you go to and they don't have goat meat? They have goat meat.
I've been to Turks and Caicos. I've been to a couple of the Saints. I've been to Jamaica.
And you don't go nowhere that hold on for a second. Wait a minute. So you've been to all of these islands and you've never been to any place where they got the G-unit, goat unit, on the menu?
If they have, it didn't stand out to me. I don't ever remember seeing goat meat on the menu. But why are we talking about this more importantly? Like, how did we move to this?
I just want to know if you've tried it.
Right, I haven't. Is it good?
It is good.
Ew.
Okay. Donnie, Trudy, have you guys eaten goat?
I have.
Of course you did, Donnie.
I mean, it was.
Was it? Was it in the islands?
No, I've never been to the islands. It was in Atlanta.
Right? Did you like the
goat? I
don't
know if I trust that.
It was good. It was mixed up in a bunch of stuff. It was like a stew.
Ew!
Goat stew. Trudy, what about you? Goat meat?
No, I've never. I'm picky though. Like, I'm a really picky eater.
So am I.
I gotta be honest with y'all. Like so what meats have you eaten, Rachel? Have you eaten venison? Okay, very good, right?
It's a little tough.
No, it's not.
Then
not
maybe
true.
I had bad. Maybe I had bad. Had a bad batch.
Bad batch of venison. Bad batch is also a Star Wars show.
I've tasted it. I duck, lamb.
Rabbit.
No, never had rabbit.
Rabbit's great. Rabbit tastes good. No goat, huh? Lamb. You like lamb? Lamb chop, 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 chop.
I like lamb. We had some kind of weird meat when I was in Norway. We went to a shop, but I wouldn't eat it. Like Brian had to take. We were on The Bachelor, and he was eating random things. But see, I'm picky. I'm like Trudy. I don't understand. I have no curiosity. When we were in Finland, people were eating bear. I have that. There's nothing in me that says, I wonder what that tastes like. I'm good. There are enough meats to go around.
I would never eat a bear.
And it's, you have to cook it a certain way. You could easily get sick from bear. So it's a very particular way it has to be made.
I feel like I have too much. See, here's the thing about eating animals. People really only eat the animals they don't respect.
That's not true.
That's very true. People only eat the animals they don't respect. Like right now, you eat fish, right?
Yeah.
Right now, if someone said, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a meal, and the meal is going to be orca. We're going to eat killer whale.
I wouldn't eat it well.
Because you respect him.
No, see, you don't. It just sounds. Do people eat whale?
Of course, but you wouldn't eat a whale. I'm telling you, because you respect a whale. You don't respect a salmon. A salmon has a life that the salmon loves. Okay, the salmon swim around. Salmon having fun. Tuna swim around. I bet you love ahi ahi. Like tuna swim around. Ahi ahi. Is it ahi ahi or mahi mahi? I think it's just ahi and then it's mahi mahi. tuna swim around. They swim around. They love, right? They do the thing. We eat the tuna. The whale, you respect. You respect him. You think he's smart. You think he's capable. The dolphin wouldn't eat him, I bet. You know why?
Do people eat dolphin?
They don't eat dolphin because we respect the dolphin.
Or maybe it's just not meant to be eaten.
Why would it not meant to be eaten?
Not
what would be the difference between
great? Not meat tastes different.
I know, but the question is, but not all of these meats taste amazing.
I love pigs. I want a pet pig. I've always had a fascination with them.
You don't respect him.
No, I've always had a fascination with them, but I love pork.
Rachel, you don't respect the pig. You might like the pig. You might like the pig. If you respect
this conversation.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
What?
You don't. If you respected the pig, you'd have the pet pig. You don't. You have a pet. You have a dog.
Because pigs are really smart, and I hear they need more than one. And I don't have the space for two pigs. I've done like I really love pigs. I have names picked out and everything.
I'm gonna take you at your word with the pig, but I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna tell you right now. Somewhere along the lines, you don't respect the pig.
No, because
you like him too much.
That's why I don't have a pet pig, because I do respect pigs and I couldn't give it the proper setting that it would need. But I'm also going to eat it.
Would you eat a bald eagle?
Have you not heard me talk about birds? I think birds are demonic. I think they are the
most disgusting. But you eat a chicken. See, here's the thing. There's no difference. You hate chicken?
Like the ant as animals. You're right. I have no respect. I have no respect for chicken.
You're not going to eat a bald eagle, but you will eat a chicken because we only eat animals that we don't respect. I'm telling you. I don't know why. Some of the animals that we eat, when you break it down, they're actually like majestic. Do you know how fucking cool a lobster is? A lobster is cool.
I don't eat lobster.
They can like almost, there's something about a lobster where they could live forever or some weird shit. And then they like octopus, super cool. We eat them. They're cool, but we don't respect them. Where did this come from?
Did you eat something? Did you feel a certain way?
We don't respect the lobster. We don't respect the octopus. And those are animals are really cool. We just don't respect them. We only eat animals we don't respect.
Okay, when it comes to fish and things of the sea, you're absolutely right. I could care less. I don't even really consider them animals.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to get in so much trouble for this.
Glue themselves to the floor of the podcast.
I could care less about a salmon, a shrimp. I'm sorry. I don't. Catfish. I don't care about them. Dolphins, yes. I actually have fascination with dolphins.
Because you respect them.
Because
a dolphin does things that you respect.
I feel like fish are meant to be eaten. Sorry.
Well, look, here's the thing about that. Most things are meant to be eaten. Because most things are in the food chain, you know?
All right. So most things
are meant to be eaten. And
right.
It's just an interesting way in how you should live in symbiosis with the nature. But most things, there are only a couple of really, truly apex predators that were really not meant to be eaten. And maybe the orca is an apex predator, which is really maybe why we don't think about eating him. But most things are meant to be eaten. For example, we eat the deer, but we don't eat the animals that prey on the deer. Maybe it's the fact that these are apex predators that we don't. Maybe we have a respect for them because we're an apex predator. See, respect. It's all about respect.
Do people eat lions?
I'm sure they do, but like it doesn't feel right because we respect them. It doesn't feel right to eat elephant. We respect the elephant.
I'm good with the pork. The chicken, the beef. I don't need to venture past that. Fish. I don't need to venture past that. I'm good.
Let's play a game show real quick called Animal Games. Are you down?
Sure.
All right. So everybody right now, everybody pop your screen on.
Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back. It's time for Animal Games. I'm obsessed with the fact that we don't know anything about animals. We're starting with Trudy, Animal Games. You have 15 seconds to name five mammals. Go.
You, an elephant, a tiger, a deer, a bear, a dog.
Boom! Boom! Animal games, Trudy, 1 point. Donnie, you have 15 seconds to name five members of the marsupial family.
Fuck.
Oh, 15 seconds, animal games. Right. Go, Donnie.
Go, Donnie, go.
Kangaroo, wallaby. There's like a dog. Tasmanian devil.
Tick, that counts. Wow. Tick, 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 tick.
Wow.
Tick, 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 tick. Boom! You lose!
Okay,
animal Donnie, games.
I wouldn't have named one.
Rachel, are you ready for animal games?
No, I quit. You lost me at marsupial. Oh my God.
Every Thursday, we're going to do animal.
Every one of those things you named, Donnie, I thought were mammals.
Every Thursday.
They are.
They are mammals as well? Okay.
We're going to do animal games. Rachel, animal games for you. You have 15 what? Seconds to name five amphibious creatures.
Fuck. Frog.
Boom.
A gecko. Is that a reptile?
It's a reptile. I don't think it's amphibious. It might be. I'll give it to you.
Okay. A crocodile.
Yes. Yes, Rachel. Yes.
An alligator.
Yes. Rachel, they're different. You got one more. Come on, Rachel. Amphibians. Think about it. They slither around.
That's a reptile. I'm confusing them with reptiles.
They're reptiles who are amphibious. It's the same.
Oh, snakes.
Yes, a water moccasin is also amphibious.
Well, that counts maybe as a snake.
Or maybe it's not. You know what, by the way? I'm governing animal games right now. I'm governing animal games, and I don't really know if I'm right about any of these things. I don't know. Is it Donnie, check this out. I don't know if a gecko is amphibious.
This game is going on.
Secondly, is a moccasin amphibious? I'm sure.
Okay. Frogs, toads, salamanders, newts, geckos got to fit in there.
Got to be one of them.
Is a
water moccasin amphibious?
This water gecko is a reptile, and a salamander is an amphibian.
Damn, Trudy, you're supposed to be with me.
I'm sorry.
Donnie,
I don't think there are that many amphibians. I don't see five.
It's five amphibians. God wouldn't have bothered to make the amphibians if it was less than five of them.
Water Donnie, snakes are not amphibious.
Damn.
So I was wrong too. So water snakes are not amphibious. All right. So who's gonna give me an animal games category before we leave? Animal games.
I nominate Donnie. Make it hard. Because I'm thinking about science.
Let's play animal games right now. And then we can get to the rest of the depressing ass podcast. Because the news stories that we have to cover are not great this week.
I'm still trying to find five amphibians. I'm sorry, y'all. There aren't.
They're not five different amphibians.
No, because they're like 20 different types of frogs that are considered amphibians.
So this is what we're going to do. Next Thursday, we're going to have the Thought Warriors come up with the animal games questions, because I'm obsessed about people learning more about animals. And then, Donnie, you're going to ask me and Rachel the animal games questions, and we're going to have we're going to go back and forth, and we're going to start having our guests are going to have to everyone's going to learn more about animals due to this podcast. We don't know enough about animals. I'm serious about
that. Name five invertebrates.
Invertebrates. A worm. A scorpion, an ant, a mosquito, and a fucking gnat.
I don't know.
God damn it.
Worms is right for sure.
Uh huh. And then insects are invertebrates, right? So all I gotta do is
insects. Yep.
So if I name a bunch of, I wonder if all those insects count under one thing though. If I can't name different insects.
No. Yeah. Apparently, worms are, crustaceans, I believe, are arachnids.
Arachnids, right? Yeah, see, I think I fucked that up. So look, are you guys down for every Thursday animal games?
Didn't we just go through all 1,000%. Of them?
No, Rachel. For some reason, Rachel, you don't want to learn more about animals. We have to learn more about animals, guys. We have to. I'm sorry. I don't consider
the invertebrates animals.
They're animals. What are they then? What are they? It's an animal.
Worthless. Gross. But you've heard me talk about birds. I cannot stand birds. I just have a fear of them. I'm very terrified.
Were you about to get rid of all the world's birds? What kind of savage are you?
I hate birds.
The skies are just bare because Rachel has gotten rid of all the birds.
Would you miss it? Honestly, if you looked up and never saw a bird in the sky, would you notice?
Yes.
Trudy? I knew it.
Nope. Some big-ass bird just landed on my little balcony thing and scared me. I think it was does California got bald eagles? Because I feel like it was there.
Yeah. I found a mysterious feather in my backyard yesterday. I want to move.
This is the worst conversation we've ever had on the podcast. This is like, Trudy,
you
Donnie,
started it.
Go back on the thing. It's time for the big deal of the day. Goodbye. We'll see you back this Thursday for animal games. Give us some animal games questions. Donnie, collate these questions. And then animal games. And you know what? I challenge the Thought Warriors for animal games. I challenge you guys. I don't think y'all know either. Anything about animals. We got to learn more about animals. I challenge you guys to animal games.
No, right. This is going to be me the entire time during animal games.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with the big deal of the day.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Okay, the Justice Department appeals the ruling lifting the transit mask mandate after CDC request. The Department of Justice has moved to appeal a ruling that struck down the federal mask mandate on planes, trains, and transit systems after a request by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Of course, everybody heard this. An appeals court judge ruled that the mask mandate, as enforced by airlines and trains and different places, buses, was unconstitutional, struck it down, and everybody burned their masks in jubilant freedom and said, it's time to get back to things, people. It was a revolt on Twitter. Well, now, Department of Justice has moved to appeal this ruling. On Monday, U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mazzell was the one for the Middle District of, guess where, Florida, ruled that the travel mask mandate was unlawful, arguing that the CDC had overstepped its legal authority by imposing the mandate in February 2021. Now, airline passengers have had mixed results to this. Some people were like, hey, it's great, we don't have to wear masks anymore. Other people were like, it's going to be a coffee situation. Now, we should say that states can still choose to keep mask mandates for state-run public transportation. Yeah, whatever. So there are places in the country right now where COVID is spiking, yet it seems like we're not masking. What are your thoughts about this, Rachel?
I am hoping, I know that the Justice Department has appealed this judge's ruling, and I'm hoping that ruling is overturned. Because as you just mentioned, COVID is still spiking in certain places. We just saw Philadelphia implement their indoor mask policy. They brought it back. And I would imagine that they won't be the only city to do that. Sadly, we're not done with this. We're not anywhere close to being done with it. And I don't think it's too much to ask passengers on a plane to wear their mask. I plan on wearing mine. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I think I was a little shocked. I thought, and I know people are divided on masks, but I thought when it came to planes or public transportation, I really thought the majority of the people really wanted to continue down this way, or at least wanted to, we're going to, even when it was lifted. Like, I know me, I'm like, you know what? Why do we never wear masks on planes? I'm going to continue to do that. I just feel like we're in such close proximity to one another. You've seen other people do it. It makes sense to me. After going through a global pandemic, I want to continue to wear masks on public transportation, forms of transportation. I'm shocked at how quickly people were to jump to this, and how quickly flight attendants were to rip their mask off and walk down the aisles and get other people to throw down their mask. I really hope that they at least follow in line with what the federal mandate is, which is to continue it through May 3rd. And hopefully it continues after that. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I feel like this is the first step also into the new normal, right? Some people will wear masks. Some people won't. This will just be the way of the world. But I guess I'm shocked at the overwhelming number of people that are excited about this.
So this week, DJ K Slay died. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
The drama king.
Yes.
So DJ K Slay died of COVID, 55 years old. DJ K Slay was a gigantic figure in hip hop, huge figure in hip hop, particularly particularly New York hip hop, but really just hip hop period. He died of COVID, 55 years old.
I know.
Whether or not you guys want to admit it or not, whether or not we admit it or not, whether or not we talk about it or not, COVID is still killing people. There are people who have not had COVID yet. There are people who still have pre-existing conditions from COVID. COVID is still killing people. Look, there's blame to go around to everyone as to why we don't have a clear set of directives for how to deal with COVID. One is that we demanded a clear set of directives, and it's hard to get one with a disease, or excuse me, with a virus that was novel. So we wanted to know what was true and what was false. And the reality was, well, some things are true today, false tomorrow. Some things are false today, true tomorrow. And that's just the nature of dealing with a new pathogen, right? Dealing with the new phenomena, you're going to learn things and unlearn them. But the way our society is built now, we are not programmed to learn and unlearn on the fly. We're programmed to take a side and destroy the middle, right? We're programmed to take a side and fight with one another. So COVID was the perfect thing to force us into our bunkers. I get that. Having said that, I do feel like it was incumbent upon the people who are the higher ups and in charge of the American public health apparatus to be more forthright and be a little bit more forthcoming, or be better communicators, should I say, about the ever-evolving nature of that. I'm not saying that they didn't. Well, see, And the reason why I say that is because when these statements are coming out, a lot of times for a lot of people who didn't really dig into some of these things, they were spoken like law, and they weren't spoken like what they really are, which are best practices. We don't have anything that can stop COVID in its tracks. Nothing. We don't have anything that can really stop any disease in its tracks. We have things that are highly effective. Well, we have our best practices. And there's a way that you communicate that. And I don't feel it was communicated like that the way that it should be. At first, don't do this. Then do this. Then say, then after that, like for do something else. So for a lot of people, that was confusing for them. Never was confusing for me, but I could see how it was confusing for some people. To me, if the mask would help you 1%, if the mask would help you 2%, if there is a 1% chance that you don't end up like our dear brother Kay Slay on a ventilator, dead at 55 when you have so much life left to live, to me personally, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to wear it. And if you can mitigate the spread of COVID by any percentage in public, especially on planes where people are flying around, I just don't see why you wouldn't want to do it. It seems like our society is stuck on stupid. We are silly gooses, and we're going to get kicked in our cabooses. That's all I think.
It's rhyming over there.
Oh, daddy.
I just think it goes back to it's human nature for people to only care about the things that directly impact them. And even though you're mentioning, you know, DJ K Slay, it's doesn't directly impact people. They're so far removed. It's to them, it's just another person, or it's just that small percentage of people that die from it, and they don't think that it will affect them. And they don't think about it because it's out of sight, out of mind of the other people that they're impacting. The people who have these conditions that are susceptible to this virus that can make them a lot more sick or possibly even die from it. They don't think about that unless it directly impacts them. And that's the problem. Also, what's the problem is we've been dealing with this for 2 years at this point. So people are normalized by COVID in our society, sadly. It doesn't hit the same way it did in March 2020 when there was so much unknown and we didn't know what this virus could do to us. Now people are like, I've had it once, I've had it twice, I know this person who's had it, and we can get past it. And that's how they're looking at it. So because we know that to be the case, then why do we need to continue wearing our mask? We're all going to get it at some point. Like, that's the way people think about it. It's now so a part of our society. We're looking at it in a completely different way than we did 2 years ago when we first knew about it. And that's the problem. That's the human nature.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Seatbelts are for safety. You don't wear your seatbelt, you get a ticket. I think it should be the same thing. You get on there, you don't wear your deal, you should have to pay extra. And then the extra money you pay for not wearing the mask, we take it all and we use it to buy vaccines in countries that need them. And because I'll be honest with you, like, at some point, you got to do what's right for the greater good. Seatbelts save lives. Masks save lives. Wear the fucking mask. We'll see what happens. All right. It's time to move on to Is This Fucked Up? And I'm fired up about this, Rach.
What?
Mike Tyson was on a flight, sitting in first class. It looked like it was very nice. And a fucking buffoon wouldn't leave Mike Tyson alone. Donnie, give me the audio.
This is George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This shit crazy, bro. Mike Tyson. My dog done got lit, man. He over here rapping with Tyson. Mike Tyson trying to give us some shrooms. You don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This shit crazy as fuck.
He should have never gave you his money.
Wait, who said that? Wait, what's that last part of that audio? I haven't heard that. What was that?
Oh, you didn't hear that part? You didn't hear it? Run it again, Donnie. Donnie, bring it back.
Who said that?
The guy holding the camera says we should have never given you niggas money. And then the other guy says peasants.
Never gave you niggas money.
Peasants. And he's talking to Mike Tyson, talking about we should have never gave y'all niggas money?
I don't know who the guy holding the camera is talking about, but I know that in reaction to him saying that, the other guy says peasants. Mike Tyson didn't enjoy that. After the harassment, Tyson got up, asked him to chill. He didn't. So Mike punched him in his shit a bunch of times. Donnie, give me the audio of the punches.
Hey, Mike, come on. Let's go stop
back. 100% on Mike Tyson's side.
You're fired up about it. Go.
100% on Mike Tyson's side. 100%. When the it's just the way I feel. When the Will Smith Chris Rock thing happened, what I said was we couldn't approve of conflict resolution. Violence is conflict resolution between two black men. This is a situation that is not between two black men. So I would like to make a distinction right there. Situation where a guy kept fucking with someone over and over and over again, was asked to chill, was clearly drunk, and learned the hard way. Is this assault? Yeah, it's assault. It's definitely assault. It's certainly assault. But I'm having an incredible time finding anything wrong with this. I really am. I'm having, I need to be bigger. I need to be the bigger person, but I'm not. You fucked around and got your shit checked and you asked for it. This is what you wanted to happen. You wanted this. I don't know what the fuck you thought was going to happen. Like I was on a plane going somewhere and I saw something that was amazing. I saw a lady who was sleeping, right? It's in first class. Ooh. I saw a lady who was sleeping. She's in the aisle seat. No, actually, the lady who was sleeping was in the window seat. The other lady was in the aisle seat. The aisle seat lady reached over the window seat lady when the window seat lady was sleeping and closed her lid.
I've seen this happen before.
Right? Closed her little lid. Lady, and when she did this, she accidentally spilled some ginger ale on the lady. Oh. The lady woke up. Was like, yo, what are you doing? It's like, no, you were sleeping. I didn't want to wake you up. She's like, don't reach over me. Don't reach into my space. A little fracas got popped off. Things are touchy on an airplane is my point. They're touchy. People want their space. They want domain and dominion over their space. This guy is like taunting him. What the fuck? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a thug. I'm one of those thugs.
Where do you think I stand on this?
I think you would have probably took a fork and stabbed the guy in his neck and watched the blood ooze out of his body. I think you probably would have like taken, you know, the ginger ale can and twisted it into a knife and waited for the guy to jump up and jumped on his back and stabbed him several times. Watched the blood ooze out of and then looked at everybody else and was like, y'all have a fucking problem?
Wow.
Because I'll use it again. That's what I thought you'd have done.
Okay. Are we done? First of all, my first thought when I saw this,
I think you would have took your shoe off and made a noose out of it, like a strangle thing, and jumped on the guy's back and strangled him to death. And like then turn around as the life was draining from his eyes and locked eyes with him and was like, him, you shouldn't have fucked up like in The Equalizer. That's the last one.
So my first thought when I saw this video is, where are the flight attendants? Okay, you pay all this money for first class. It clearly was a long flight. He's going from San Francisco to Florida, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was in a lie down type seat, kind of, maybe not. You pay all this money to have your space, quiet time to be attended on, and then this is happening. Where are the flight attendants and why are they not doing their job? What I would have initially done is, I'm sorry, where are the flight attendants? Flight attendant doesn't want to do their job. Looks like I got to take matters into my own hands. I would have been talking back. I would have definitely had something to say. Once I heard the N-word used, I'm throwing hands. I'm choking you. I'm slapping you. I'm punching you. I'm doing something. And to add to that, Mike Tyson's camp is saying that he threw a water bottle at him. And that is when he lost control. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I've talked about this before multiple times on the podcast. I'm already a little like feeling a certain way on a plane. I just like to keep to my, like to be quiet to my space. And I'm sure Mike Tyson is that. Everybody recognizes Mike Tyson. He probably already got on that plane with people wanting pictures, with people wanting to talk to him, with people wanting to be like, hey, champ, like throw punches at him. I'm sure he was like over it. Then you get on the plane. All you want to do is sit there, watch a movie, maybe read or just go to sleep. Or maybe do some work. I don't know what Mike Tyson was doing. And then you're being harassed. Okay, what Mike Tyson might have done is assault, but this guy was harassing him. Another crime. And it wasn't stopping. And sometimes, so I agree with you. I immediately thought about people are going to get on us because of what we said about the Will Smith, Chris Rock situation. But to me, it's two totally different things. Chris Rock said a joke. Will Smith overreacted. This was harassment. He kept going and going. And in addition to him verbally harassing him, you had somebody else filming it. At one point, you see Mike Tyson look over like, come on, y'all are filming this. It's like they wanted a reaction out of him. You want a reaction? I'm going to give you a reaction. I wholeheartedly agree with what Mike Tyson did, especially if you heard him say the N-word. Yeah. You're harassing me in my personal space. You threw a water bottle at me and you said the N-word or peasants or whatever. Those are fighting words.
Would you like to hear my last scenario for how you would have dealt with it?
Go ahead. You can't help yourself.
I think you'd have gone to the front. Switched into a flight attendant's uniform, waited till meal service, and then put strychnine in the guy's food.
Put what?
Strychnine.
Stop.
And into his food. And then as he ate the food, you'd stand there just looking at him like, night, night, bitch. Look, I don't like violence, man. But
can we agree? Sometimes you just gotta get a nigga.
No, we can't. We can't agree that words are violence. They're not.
But we literally violence and violence. No. You've literally said that the N word is violent.
The N word is.
We've had that conversation.
The N word is special. There's another because like the N word is the exception, not the rule.
Well, that word was used.
Right, the N-word is the exception, not the rule. There's very few words to me, and people will have other words, but there are very two words to me that just invoke. I can think of maybe one other. One shout out to my Jewish brothers and sisters that invoke the deaths of 100 million people. You know, and like the degradation of all of that, and just like they're very. It's the N-word to me is a singular flashpoint word that means subhuman. Thing that you can kill, you know.
Well, that word was used. Also, was Mike Tyson wearing a mask?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
He probably was. That guy didn't look like he was wearing a mask either.
Well, him, like, kind of falls in line with how.
But you know what though? Like, sometimes that drunk white boy shit. Sometimes you just got to get yours, man. Like, you know, shout out, dude got what he wanted. He probably gonna get paid. But
that's what I hate. He did all of that and then he went straight to the police. You know what I mean? He knew exactly what he was doing. That I'm convinced of.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Okay, Syracuse. The police in Syracuse are under scrutiny after video shows officers detaining a crying boy. A review of Syracuse police actions is underway after a video of a young boy being stopped by officers went viral. Give me the audio, Donnie.
What is y'all doing? What is y'all doing?
Guess what I'm doing.
Hey, he like a baby to me. Why you?
Guess what I'm doing.
I don't know what you're doing. Exactly. I just see you snatching him up off the.
Know.
So what's going on then?
He's stealing stuff. If he breaks into your house, he steals something.
Nah, man. What is that, a bag of chips? So y'all treat me like a whole cold-blooded fucking killer?
Keep walking, dude. You don't even know what you're
talking about. I know what I just came up and see. I know what the fuck I just came up and see.
Okay, what'd you see?
I see y'all snatching him up the back like you're a fucking grown-ass man.
It wasn't him.
And he's saying it wasn't him. What the fuck is y'all doing?
That's crazy.
Yo, man. It's a full-time job to not just, like, get consumed with hate. Like, you got to work overtime. You got to work overtime to not just hate everything.
Hmm.
So in the video, in case you guys haven't seen it, one of the officers takes both of the kid's arms, holds him from behind. The kid is still screaming, crying, and they take him to the back of the police car. The video was recorded by a gentleman who was curious about why the police were treating the kid like this. I think the kid was 9 years old. Donnie, check that for me. The Syracuse police has said that the boy's suspected of larceny. He wasn't put in handcuffs and no charges were filed. He was brought home and the officers met with the child's father, they said. The boy's father, Anthony Wee, spoke with Syracuse.com about the incident. Why would the police treat a child like that over a $3 bag of chips? Wee told the news. He says he wants to file a complaint against the police department. He's 8 years old. He's eight. Mm-hmm. 8 years old. Born in 2014. Born in 2014. I was 34. He's eight. So there are lots of deep-seated things that you can talk about when we're dealing with this. We can talk about the state of policing. We can talk about the mental toll that takes on young black men. We can talk about the toll that it takes on us by watching the video and hearing the audio. But it seems like we're pissing in the wind and the only thing left is resentment. I just hate them. And I wish I didn't.
You hate who? The police?
Yeah, man. I'm not saying we don't like need cops. I just like
it just points to another instance where, like you're saying, it's not that you don't need them, but it just points to another instance and it doesn't seem to stop. And mind you, these are just the instances that are captured on audio or video or that somebody's lived to tell a story about. It makes no sense why this was done. And then there was a statistic that said like 2,600 arrests have been made for children between the ages of 5 and 9 or something wild like that. Why in the world, when in New York, you have to be 12 to be arrested and they'll say he wasn't arrested, he was detained. It doesn't matter. Why in the world was this necessary? If you were trying to send a message, you obviously have no well like, don't care about the well-being of that child and how traumatizing this will be for him for the rest of his life. He is 8 years old. I don't know how he viewed police before, but he will never view police the same again. And anybody who's watching that video, like, I just can't stop thinking that child wailing. I had to stop watching the video, wailing over and over again, screaming. Yes, he might have done something, stealing a bag of chips or whatever he was suspected of doing. But the fact that you did that to this child, you could have easily gotten the same message across of asking him what he did or don't do it or taking him home to his father. And you know what I mean? Like, without having to do the dramatics of that and then being so forceful with it when someone was questioning you about it, as if treating this child like he's not a human being. I think that was the most gut-wrenching thing of the entire video. They weren't even treating him like he was a human being. So when people ask questions about police and how they handle certain situations, it's these instances that we have to continue to sadly point to. That's tough. I didn't watch the full video.
Are you familiar with the relationship between Batman and the Joker?
I think so, enough.
So it's like, Batman is who he is because of something that happened to him as a kid, right? As a youth, he's scarred. Bruce Wayne has PTSD, right?
Right.
But the reason why Batman and the Joker are the most compelling hero-villain duo in all of comic books is because they need each other. Like, they need each other. Like, Batman and the Joker, the Joker necessitates Batman, and Batman necessitates the Joker. The Joker is an anarchist, a crazy, a homicidally insane, psychopathic killer with absolutely zero code. Nothing matters. Batman is meticulous, is full of code and conduct, and all about what he won't do. Could have killed the Joker years ago, but he just won't kill him, right? So in that, you have this state of order in Gotham City. One guy represents this, the other guy represents that, but they need each other. And it's like, if they didn't have each other, they would create each other. If Batman didn't have the Joker, he would create a Joker. If the Joker didn't have Batman, he would create a Batman. I think that black people are the police's Joker. I think that the police don't need crime to justify their existence. They need black people. Forget about crime. Crime is too vague of a thing. All kinds of people commit crimes. Jaywalking is a crime. You know what I mean? Speeding is a crime. Stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from people in a Ponzi scheme, that's a crime. Crime is not the thing that that the cops need. What the cops need is an entity to demonize, an entity to make them feel strong, an entity to make them feel necessary. And crime isn't that entity, because it can't be, because it's too abstract. Crime means so many things. But a people can be that entity. Like, a people can be that. You can say, hey, there is the group. They embody everything that we're trying to stop. What that cop said to that man was, what about when this kid is climbing through your window, stealing something out of your house? Do you understand the gulf of difference between jacking a $3 bag of chips in a store, if that's in fact what that young man did?
Right.
The gulf of difference between that and breaking and entering, flocking in somebody's house. Do you understand how big of a difference that is? That is night and day. Like, night and day.
We need to understand that.
Like, start going around, black or white, and ask people if they've ever stole anything out of a store. Like, stop, go around, black or white, like Winona Ryder stealing out of the store. Like, go around, black or white, start asking people, black or white, if they ever stolen anything out of the store.
Right.
That cop created the version of the criminal that he needed that kid to be in order to justify what it was that he was doing to him. And he did that in the face of somebody else who was asking the pertinent and relevant questions about, yo, why you doing them that way? The cop created who he needed that kid to be to justify that. As a comic book nerd, I see that all the time. I see how these characters are inextricably linked, how they complete one another. The Joker actually says to Batman in The Dark Knight, you complete me. So I don't understand how, and by the way, we know in comic books that these characters are destined to do this forever. That's the reason why you watch the book. That's the reason why the reason why you watch the movies, because they never figure it out. There's no figuring it out with them. Like, there's no figuring it out.
You know what? I thought you were going to say, because I don't know the comic book version of Batman and the Joker. I only know from what I've seen in the movies. And I thought you were going to say, which everything you say makes perfect sense. And you're teaching me something, because obviously I don't know that dynamic of them.
Yeah.
Because you don't really get that deep in the movie. But what I've noticed from my short time of watching these DC films is that the more I watch Batman, I understand the way that he is from the trauma that happened to him at a very young age in watching the death of his parents and how and everything that fell out from that. He is who he is because of what happened to him when he was younger. And this is what I thought you were going to say. Mm-hmm. When you watch The Joker, which might be one of my favorite movies. When you watch The Joker, you have a level of empathy for the Joker, and you actually understand why he became the Joker based on the trauma that he has gone through in his life. Mm-hmm. And I never expected that when I watched that movie, but I was like, my gosh, I get it. I get why Batman's the way that he is, why he became the Batman Bruce Wayne. I get why the Joker has become who he is because of what he went through. Tried to fight it, but was basically like, this is how the world treats me. This is how I'm responding just to survive. That's what I took from it. That young child, because of what he has gone through, and who else knows what else he's been through or what he's going through, but what he has gone through, the trauma at the hands of the police, and now that the public is involved, it is going to impact who he becomes in life. It is going to impact his relationship with the police. It's going to impact how he views them, and it's going to be interesting. And I think that you can look at Black people as a whole and say, I can understand why Black people feel the way they do about the justice system and about police because of the trauma that they have suffered, maybe similar to this child, similar they've seen from a family member, what they've experienced later in life. But that is why they become who they are. They think the way that they are. It's a sense of survival because of what they've experienced in their life. That's what I thought you were going to say. Do you like how I did a DC thing? You like that?
You're in your bag right now. How about that?
In the DC thing. Yeah, but that's where I thought you were going to go. But I like the way you thought of it. But then it just made me think of that element of it as well, which is why I don't nerd out over the comic books. But there is something about Batman and that world that I am so intrigued by. Yeah, and I get it.
Yeah, right. It's crazy people doing stuff. You know, the interesting thing about the Joker movie is like all of those characters, there's only one thing that makes all us be able to understand all of those characters like that is the whiteness, right? Because like if a kid becomes like a menace and he's from like O Block in Chicago or South Baton Rouge, no one goes, hey, we understand why this happened to her. They go, lock his ass up. Mm-hmm. I want to see a movie where a nigga goes crazy and we get it. Maybe that movie's out there. But I want to see a movie about a lovable nigga killer. Sick of it. All right. Yeah. So now it's time to talk about Trey Songz.
Yeah.
There's a video. How many
times are we going
to
do this?
Came out. Trey Songz has a new accuser. He beat the last accusation, by the way. We didn't talk about that.
Not the girl in Vegas.
Not the basketball player.
Not the basketball.
I don't think it was that one.
No,
I'm
it
not
wasn't.
Sure.
Well, it wasn't her.
When I say he beat it. When I say beat it, I mean he beat.
He beat one of the many.
He beat one criminally, right there. Like they didn't have enough to prosecute criminally. So video seemingly shows Trey Songz pull a woman's breast out and chant "titty in the open." The alleged victim wants a payout. This is a demand letter obtained by it was fired off to Trey Songz and his team Thursday by attorney George Vrabak and Ariel Mitchell on behalf of their client Megan Johnson, who they allege was sexually assaulted by Trey Songz during a party back in August 2013. They say that Johnson was at an event called Foxwoods Liquid Sundays with Trey Songz at the Foxwoods Resort Casino in Mashantucket. Mashantucket, Connecticut. And it was there that they claim Megan encountered Trey at the VIP tent. And if you listen to it, if you see it, Trey clearly in this video, the lady has a bikini on and he pulls her breasts out. Why, listen to the audio here. Okay, so while it appears that she laughed it off in the video, the attorneys claim she was humiliated and the incident caused lasting damage, including severe emotional distress and self-harm. Okay, the attorneys say that Megan was recently triggered by Trey's Vegas case, which was dropped by authorities. The lawyers say they will drop the case if Trey settles for north of $5 million. Rachel, your thoughts?
I mean, was it Rory who said that we're going to be talking about Trey Songz the way that we talk about R. Kelly?
Yes, Rory said that. Rory Mal podcast.
I mean, there seems to be some truth in it. There seems but we keep hearing allegations that keep coming up from the past in regards to Trey Songz. They one goes away, the next one pops up. They just seem to be ongoing. And the fact that he could just violate this woman in public, pull and show her breast, it's just like without just yank her clothes back. It's just so disgusting. And even more so that so many people were around. You hear one person cheer in the background when he says titty in the open, and nobody, his friends don't check him. And it's just like they allowed this behavior to continue. He saw nothing wrong with it. He should have been screaming, "I just sexually assaulted this woman." And instead he said titty in the open as if she was voluntarily showing her breasts. She didn't
do
that.
Why would he scream, "I just sexually assaulted this woman"?
No, I'm saying that's what he, no, he wouldn't. But I'm just saying that's what he should have been saying, because that's what you did. It wasn't a titty in the open. You sexually assaulted her. I, without this permission, pulled this woman's bikini open and revealed her breast without her permission. That's what you should have been saying. It wasn't a titty in the open. It's when girls gone wild. She didn't pull out her breast and just show them out. Like, that's not what she wanted to do. And so just the fact that that's how he saw it, just a titty in the open, as if she wasn't a human being, a person, as if she didn't have feelings, rights, nothing. It was, oh, there's a titty in the open. He's twisted.
$5 million.
North.
North of $5 million. A lot of people have commented on that number saying, hey, that's way too much money to try to get for what they saw on camera.
What was appropriate? What they want to ask for? $20,000? Do you want to say something?
No, I'm just disappointed. I don't know. You can't put a number on
You can't really put a number, people.
Yeah, like you can't put a number. I don't know. I don't have any thoughts about, you know, what goes on. And I think it's absolutely true that there are people that watch all of this stuff. They get triggered. They remember things that happened to them. And then now they're like, well, what do I do? Or like, well, how do I go about this? Another thing that I'm happy about in this situation is that I'm glad that we all recognize that that is assault, because I think that there was a time when we didn't.
For sure.
I think that there was a time when we just looked at that as hijinks, horseplay, fucking around. And I think that a lot of women have probably had to endure that. And men too, some men too probably have had to endure that without understanding that people don't have the right to do that. So I'm glad that we all see that now for the seriousness that it holds, you know, that it brings with it. Trey is in a hell of a situation. He is. Trey's in a hell of a situation. Trey, it seems, and it would be difficult to say otherwise, that all of the things in the past of this brother are coming back, and that there needs to be some sort of reckoning or discussion or something that happens. I don't know who Trey Songz feels like he is. I've known or talked in the past with Trey Songz. I don't know who he feels like he is, but there currently seem to be a lot of people who feel like they know who he is. And so there needs to be a conversation had, at the very least, from Trey Songz to the culture that deals with all of this. Somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to talk about it, because it's not going anywhere. It seems as if there are breadcrumbs being left all over this city. This happened in Connecticut, in Vegas. I mean, everybody can't be lying.
Well, the thing was, is it, to my knowledge, there hasn't been any like physical evidence as far as like video or audio in regards to the allegations until now, at least publicly, that I'm aware of. It's been this person has come out and is telling their story. When you couple all the stories that keep coming up, now with this video where this woman clearly did not consent to this behavior, you can't deny it. There's a common denominator here, and it is Trey Songz. So, I mean, seems like I keep thinking we're done talking about him, and then we hear about something else.
Well, now we're not going to be
this
done.
This time because, we saw it.
Because I feel like there are a lot of women out there who, if they do have a run-in with him or if they do have something, they will be triggered and they will want their voices to be heard. So we'll see what happens with that.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
All right, DJ Envy has a book coming out. I want to make sure that I it's called, the book is called Real Life, Real Love, Life Lessons on Joy, Pain, and the Magic That Holds Us Together. He's promoting his book with his beautiful wife, Gia Casey. And they talked about orgasms. They talked about a little origami. And this is what was said. I'm going to let you guys listen to it.
And I'm sure so many women can relate. Like, you want to reward that man for that work. And the only reward that you have to offer is an orgasm. But even if I didn't feel it, I would still be performative. Mm-hmm. So yes, I was faking it.
We got into like an argument, and then she was like, well, you know, I don't be having an orgasm. She didn't say it in that. She speaks way more eloquent than I would have. And I was like, what? And she was like, I don't. I'm like, no, yes, you do. I hear it. Like, yeah, ah, ah. And then she was like, no, I'm faking it. I'm like, every time? And she was like, yeah. And then that just crushed me because I thought I was putting in work. Like, I'm sitting there thinking I'm, you know, Big Daddy Long Leg.
Big Daddy Long Leg.
Big Daddy Long Leg. Rachel, what are your thoughts about this? Do you relate to Gia Casey's plight?
Relate? No. Okay, first of all, let me just give a strong no. Second, I just sold a book in January.
Yeah.
You're in the process of selling a book now.
Yeah, of course.
I get you have the pressure from your publishers, editors, agents, managers, maybe, that you want to be on the New York Times list or some type of bestsellers list. You want to put out things that you think will draw people in to read the book so you can increase sales. But this wasn't it.
Yeah, you don't think so?
And I just personally feel it's just TMI. First of all, I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear it. And if that's something that you guys wanted to put in your book, because you feel like it'll help other couples, fine. I find this utterly embarrassing for DJ Envy. 10 years?
Yeah.
10 years? You could have said, I have faked an orgasm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most women have.
Yeah.
But for 10 years, and that coupled with some of the other stuff that has come out with him, that is a lot. I just find it so embarrassing. I actually feel sorry for him. As a man, like when it comes to just, and I don't mean to like do gender, assign gender roles and stuff, but like, does that affect your manhood?
I mean, I'm not that kind of guy. Like, it's like, you know, here's my thing. I do the best I can.
No, I don't. I don't believe that. That's not how it goes.
I go into things with the purest of intentions.
Get out of here.
It's me. It's you. Let's make a secret. I go into things with the purest of intentions. I do my best. I do my best. I go in. I do my thing. We have a good time. Some laughter.
But no.
Some cuddles.
But what if she's not? That's the thing. She admits to you that for 10 years, she has not been having a good time.
So let's explore this. Let's say that DJ Envy and his wife had sex twice a week in those 10 years. Okay, so that's 52 weeks in a year times two. That's 104 times per year that they had sex times 10. That's 1,000 faked orgasms. It's 1,000 faked orgasms.
It's a lot of work on her part.
So that's 1,000 fake orgasms. A grand. A G. That's over 1,000. They look like a pretty frisky couple. Let's say the number goes up to 3. 52 times 3 equals 156 times 10. Boom. 1,500 fakies. Fake them outs. All right. 1,000 orgasms conservatively faked. What's real at that point? 10 years? That's longer than Obama was president. 10 years?
A year would be a long time to be faking it. A year would. It's just, I don't know how you recover from that. And you bring up a very good point. You bring up a very good point. That's me. Every relationship is to each their own. Mm-hmm. It's subjective, right? But like you said, what's real? I would just have a hard time swallowing that you've been lying to me. And it's not like you've been lying, like, I don't know, with the budget or something. It's like, you know, something that's intimate, that's special to us. Aww. that's special to us. You know what I mean? Like you, I just, so much of a relationship is built on intimacy and you've been lying about our intimacy. That's tough.
Do you know what women don't know?
What?
Men fake orgasms too.
That's fine. But he didn't say that. That's not the issue. Do they? Like that regularly?
Sometimes it, you know. Sometimes it's, if it's not hidden.
I think it's harder. It's harder for you guys to fake it, I think, than it is for us, for sure.
It's harder, but sometimes it has to be done. Sometimes it's like, sometimes it has to be. Sometimes it's like, yeah, yeah, okay, now can we go to the movies? Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, sometimes all right, now can I go to the gym? Is that okay? Sometimes it has to be done. Like, you know, like I'm not.
It has to be done.
This okay. is not in my current relationship. This is in past relationships. But like, it's, you know, what I'm saying is that sometimes it happens.
Sure. I get sometimes it happens. But 10 years, we talking 10 years. Nobody's on her because she says, sometimes I have faked orgasms in my relationship. That's what she should have said. She said 10 years. It's just. And then you did the math. You made it worse. You should not have done the math. You should not have tallied the numbers.
At minimum, 1,000 nuts.
If they did once a week, it's still bad. 1,000
nuts. 1,000 nuts. I'm glad that they can be transparent about it. It's like, it's, you know, something to talk about. 1,000 nuts.
Transparent. No, it's like, there's just certain things. And you can call me whatever, prude, conservative. There's just certain things that we don't need to know that. And I don't think you needed to discuss that. They've had other public issues that I think people would be very interested to hear about and how they got through it without you also telling us you faked orgasms for 10 years. It's just a lot.
They want to share their relationship.
They can. And because they have opened up their bedroom and shared their relationship, I am now commenting on my thought in receiving that information. And that's just how I feel.
1,000 nuts. A whole fucking planner's factory. Anyway, future. I don't want to talk about future, guys. Benzino.
I actually think that people are taking that out of context, but
oh, you're pro future on this.
I'm on record of saying future ain't shit. I'm pretty sure on this podcast, but I think people are taking that whole thing out of context.
So future said the future was asked if he wants more kids, and his answer was by my wife if I ever get married. You know what I'm saying? I want to have kids by my wife, of course. It could be like 3 because I've never had more than 1 kid by a girl.
It's honest.
So if I had 2 by her, then it's like more than I had. So I feel like it'll be more special. Future said his kids with a wife would be more special than his existing children is the headline.
I just think he wasn't as eloquent. I don't think he meant more special. I really think he meant like it'll be different. Mm-hmm. Because not that the kids that his kids will be more special because they will be with his wife. I just think he means it'll be a different type of situation. I think that's what he meant by saying special. I don't think he was when I saw it, I was like, I don't think this is that big of a deal. He's just saying it'll be a different situation because I will have had kids by the one that I'm married to, and I will have had more than 1 kid by her. So it's different from the other ways I've had children. I don't think people are blowing this out of proportion. It must be a slow news day.
Oh, well, look,
and I would never take up for future, but I don't think that's
if you were single, would you date future?
No, not at all.
There wasn't 1 date.
Mm-mm.
Why not, man? This is a great catch.
He done moved me that way. That's just me personally. He doesn't move me that way.
Yeah, you got this whole Latino thing going on.
No, that's not it either.
I get it.
That's not it either.
So there's a mayor in Tennessee, Curtis Hayes, who was a black recipient of an NAACP Diversity Award, who showed just how diverse he is, Rachel. He signed a proclamation delegating April Confederate History Month in Livingston, Tennessee. He made an announcement And he was joined by six white members of the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
Well, who else would join him?
He, I don't know, Kid Rock, maybe.
My point is white.
There's no party affiliation for this mayor. The good news, though, the Sons, the Confederates, Veterans website condemns racism while commemorating the history of the Confederacy. It's clear that the Confederacy fought loud and proud in support of slavery, obviously, sought to continue slavery, and left the U.S. after the inauguration of Abe Lincoln. Despite that, this mayor has decided to make Confederate History Month a thing. This is a trend here. Now, you have a larger body of states that are already commemorating the Confederacy. Florida has it. Georgia took it off the official state calendar after the Charleston, South Carolina church shooting, although it remains a state holiday. There's a lot of other places that have Confederate Memorial Day. Alabama, South Carolina, Mississippi, all of these places, they have it. But this is a black man in a city making this decision. I don't understand it. And I gotta give a percentage to it.
Okay.
Right now, the highest percentage of white man's nigga that we have is sitting at 60 from Rachel Lindsay. Do you remember who you gave it to?
What was his name again? Clive?
Clive. What was the guy's name?
I didn't see his face, but I cannot think of his name. Y'all, what was his name?
Harry Lennox.
Harry Lennox, yes. Clive. Rachel gave 60% white man's nigga to Harry Lennox for writing the Will Smith article for Variety. What percentage would this judge get, this mayor get, should I say, from Rachel Lindsay for ushering in Confederate Memorial Day in Livingston, Tennessee? What percentage?
I mean, I think it's obvious here. He's off the charts. It's a full 100. There is there's no other way to slice this one. My gosh. And a picture of him just looking full WMN. I mean, the man, it is. They're talking about he don't have a party affiliation. Sir, please. Remember, y'all, he's an elected official. Vote him out. I can't even get into it.
I don't want to get into a whole thing. I just wanted to put that on people's radar. I don't want to talk about like the Confederacy and what they mean. I'm sick of talking about dumb shit. I'm sick of talking about.
Then people need to stop doing dumb shit.
Like what I mean is this: like I'm sick of the dumb shit. Like I don't want in any way to discuss why the Confederacy is fucked up. How long are they? Are niggas dense?
Yes.
It's a waste of time, Rachel.
That one is.
It's a waste of time to continuously have to talk about the same shit. It's a fucking 150 years later, and we're still talking about the same shit. They lost. They got their asses kicked. They were slave-loving, inbred yokels. Fuck them all. And why do I have to think about the Confederacy in 2022? Why? Take every fucking statue down. Take every fucking holiday off the books. Fuck all your songs. Fuck all your traditions. Fuck your belt buckles. Fuck them all. I don't understand it. You know what? The Confederacy, I've never heard, there's only one losing team that talks about as much as the Confederacy.
What's that?
The USC. The USC that lost to Texas. They still talking about them like they're something special. They lost.
Yes,
they USC did. And fucking the Confederacy. The two fucking teams that lost, and niggas still try to act like they something special. The reality is this: you lost, Confederacy. It's over. We don't need to remember shit Remember what? That y'all wanted to have slavery? Like, what is there? What else is there to remember? The states are still existing.
The good old days.
The states are still there. It's not like there's no more Louisiana. There's not like there's no more South Carolina. It's there. You remember the time that the people that ran your states turned traitor? And this is not for me to make the North into some utopia where everybody was living around and playing hopscotch and that black people could do whatever they wanted to do. It didn't happen that at all. But we got some fucking white man's nigga in Tennessee, I'm sorry, somewhere ushering in the past so that people that got their a boot in their ass because progress wanted to happen can feel good about the time that they rebelled. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, Rachel.
The fact that you just compared USC to the Confederacy is going to have some people up in arms.
Ah, whatever.
But, you know, Texas did win.
So losing team, you lost. You lost. Yeah, we still talk about you. You lost so much. American, like, take a book out of the Germans' playbook. I've talked about this before. The world held Germany to the fire. If you want to be a part of the world again, the world community, you have to recognize the putrid acts of Nazism. You have to recognize how you allowed your whole country to be swept up into a megalomaniac, psychotic son of bitch that went around doing all of this stuff. And Germany had to atone. The United States has never forced itself to reconcile the goddamn disgusting history of slavery. So that means that me at 42 in the year 2022 still have to hear about the fucking Confederacy. Donnie, mailbag. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
Whew. Okay. The first question is from in-house. It's coming from Chelsea Stark Jones. In honor of rom-com week, what's your favorite romantic? Yeah, this is rom-com week. What's your favorite
rom-com
romantic
week on the Ringer? Rachel.
All right. I'm going to give you a white one and a black one. White one, My Best Friend's Wedding. Love it.
Oh, that's a good one. Ooh, right? Daddy. That's a special
black one. Black one, I'm going to go with The Wood. You not consider that a rom-com?
No.
The Wood or, yeah.
The Wood is the definitely wood. Not a romantic comedy.
You wouldn't consider it that?
No, because
there's a love story there.
There's
and
a
it's
love
story.
You know what there is? But it's like, it's more about the relationship between those guys.
But it's also, yeah, I mean, I guess the focal point is it, but it is such a big part of the movie because you see them as kids and then you see them, that relationship, you still see it as an adult. So like you have okay.
Fine, I mean, you got it. You know, you got it. I mean,
but I do love the story of friendship, and it is a coming of age movie, and I think there's just so many different elements of it that I like, so that's why I picked that one.
500 Days of Summer is mine, and people
I've
say
never seen it.
People say it's not a romantic comedy. It is. It's just not one where things turn out well at the end for the man. It's one where the woman in the movie decides what she wants out of her life. 500 Days of Summer is a great movie. It's a rom-com and I love it. Next question.
All right. Next one is from A Bird on IG. They sent this in last week. We're getting to it just now. Who is the best drug dealer between Nino Brown, Scarface, Avon Barksdale, and Franklin Saint?
I'm going to go Avon.
Of course you're going to choose The Wire.
I'm going to go Avon. So Nino and Tony are basically the same character. They were both destined to fall. Like overtly violent, too obsessed, didn't have enough real, like had a lot more muscle than they did hustle. Meaning, you know, not that they weren't smart, but they just like to get it popping a little too much. So Nino and Tony, Franklin is dope too. Franklin's don't know
gonna
how
be my choice.
We don't know how it's gonna turn out for Franklin quite yet. You know, if we know if it's anything like the story that the guy they're basing off of, you know, everybody goes to jail or ends up. But I still say it's Barksdale because he was just the perfect gangster and a gentleman, man. The perfect gangster and a gentleman.
Barksdale. Yeah, but see, I would give that to Franklin as well. Because what Franklin is doing that like a Nino didn't do is that Nino wasn't thinking big enough, right? Everything he did was in the same area. He didn't care about people. I mean, my gosh, he shielded his body with a child. He didn't care about anybody. Everybody, there was no loyalty even to his closest friends, to his girl, nothing. With what Franklin's doing is like he built a strong, or well, at least he thought, a strong circle of family and friends yeah. around him. He's thinking of this next generation. He's building. He's spreading out his money in different ways. He's investing his money. He's encouraging the people around him to do better, to do more of this, thinking that it won't last forever. I got to go Franklin.
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 I got you.
And you'd never suspect it, too.
Next one.
All right, this next one is from Pristine Cabinet 5019 on Reddit. They ask, have y'all ever had sleep paralysis? Have you ever seen a shadow person while paralyzed?
Okay, no.
Yes and yes. I had sleep paralysis so bad one time that I literally, like, I woke up, I'm there, and it hasn't happened in a while. I woke up, I'm there, I'm like, ugh. I'm trying to move. My body won't move. And then all of a sudden, so I was laying off the edge of the couch. And I'm trying to move and my body won't move. My body will not move. I have sleep paralysis. And I look and I see a pair of feet. I see a pair of feet. Like my head is hanging off the edge of the couch. I see a pair of feet, but there was nobody else in the house but me. I see feet. And then I freak out and I snap out of it.
Were you on medicine?
No, that's enough out of you. You downplay what I say.
No. Because I've never had paralysis where I couldn't move. I was sick and I had taken medicine and I saw like shadows moving. And I was like, I'm so tired. I can't even care if something happens or if this thing moves towards me. And I just like, but I think I was just like drugged. So that's why I say no. I hope I was.
Anyway, that's enough out of mailbag. Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
I do. I saw it earlier, but I'm not sure if I want to use it.
Because you're so upset about all the drag of
all
stories,
the stories
that we had to do?
That we did. Tommy Hilfiger, here's my unexpected ally of the week. Tommy Hilfiger launches new podcast highlighting the contributions of Black creatives. No, there's a lot of negative talk surrounding Tommy Hilfiger at times, but this seems to be something nice where he's highlighting the great things Black people are doing and giving a voice to creatives. So
good for him.
Great. Great. Unexpected ally. You wouldn't expect me to say Tommy Hilfiger.
I wouldn't expect that either.
That's why he's unexpected for the week.
Basically. Giving people the money that they owe him, that he owes them for making his shit hot in the first place. But I feel you, Tommy. I'm not going to be a cynic just because the fucking cops and the Confederacy got me in my feelings today. I hope that Batman rant goes over. Sometimes I mix up the comic book stuff. You know, I put it in, I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit, I'm tired.
We'll let you know if it goes too far.
Fat, Crazy, and Tired Tales from the Trenches of Transformation. You guys, in stores 426. Oh my God, 426. In fact, Crazy and Tired by my book. Take your thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. I'm Van Lathan.
And I'm Rachel and Lindsay.
Oh.
Bye. Stop. Bye, guys.